Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night of Champions League qualification action. Rangers welcome Dinamo Kiev to Hampden with the tie poised at 1-1 from the first leg. Elsewhere, Celtic are on the verge of signing Adam Ida in a deal potentially worth up to £9.5 million. And Tony Watt makes a return to Motherwell. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, a lively all night ahead with plenty to talk about. But the main talking point, obviously, Rangers against Dynamo Kiev. A huge game for Philippe Clement's side. And, you know, not only just reaching the next round, the playoff leg of the Champions League, but the finances that come with it are badly needed at Ibrox at the minute. So they'll be going all out to win that one. And meanwhile, across the city, you know, Celtic can sit back and hope that Adam Ida is in the door and everything's done and dusted with that. They badly need a striker, and fingers crossed they've got one. And then for your side, Tony Watt, what do Motherwell fans think of that? Coming back from Dundee United, where he's been frozen out, will he be the man to do the job and keep Motherwell up this season?
Yeah, it's been exciting over the last few days. But I think all eyes will be in Hampden Park tonight. Will that be the talking point about being disadvantaged? It's not at Ibrox. I certainly think it does, Gordon. I really do. But I thought Rangers started very well against Motherwell in the first half. Second half fell right out it for me. Were very poor indeed. They'll have to up their game tonight if they're going to go on to the next round. And obviously, transfer market, is it starting to heat up now?
0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, are you on your way to the game? Let's hear from you. You're heading to Hampden for a European night. How does that feel? Does it make any difference to the football match? Does it make you less confident than you would be if it was at Ibrox? We of course had a taste of this in the Premiership at the weekend. Then on to the football match itself. Who should play? Are you picking Jeffrey in there out wide to try and combat some issues that you've had in those positions? Must do John Sterling come into the team? Are there any other surprises there? Pick your team. Let us know how you're feeling. How confident are you you get over that line tonight? 0141 951 1025. It's on the telly as well, so even if you're not heading along, I'm sure many more of you will be settling down to watch it. So please share all your pre-match thoughts. How confident are you? Who should play? What about the Hampden factor? Anything else surrounding that game? Call us right now. Celtic fans, we're nearly there. We're nearly there with Adam Ida. It has been going on and on. It's definitely reached saga status, I think we would agree. But it now looks like, you know, the fee's been agreed. By the time add-ons, etc., are taken into account, it could be £9.5 million. So quite simply to you, how do you feel about that? Is he worth every penny, or is that more than you would have paid? Let us know. 0141 951 1025. Motherwell fans, how do you feel having Tony Watt back in claret and amber? Performed well at your club in the past. I know fans never take it too kindly when players leave for other teams in the same country. I know there's been a bit of a bad blood, is that the right phrase? Probably not. But a few comments flying back and forward. So how do you feel about his return? 0141 951 1025. And anything else at all, get your thoughts in. What a rare treat though for the Scottish football public.
Why?
A double helping of you two, just like the old days. You've not been sacked by Patrick Thistle, have you?
Chucked it. Had enough.
Resigned.
Listen,
resigned.
That would be the best booster at Partick Thistle could have. I'm a bit disappointed.
You walked in. I don't know who you were expecting to see, but you don't usually get the pleasure of him on a Tuesday. You look disappointed.
I was very disappointed because I've enjoyed, you know, Simon, for instance. I'm trying to think who else has been on a Tuesday. It's like a little bit like...
You saw or said every week when he's not here.
I know, but he's not here, so we'll
he's two-faced like that.
Yeah, but it's like a little bit for me... You know how the wife goes out for a weekend, you get the house to yourself.
Where is this going, honestly? I don't mind.
The wife leaves for a weekend and you get the house to yourself. And it's just enjoyable. Unfortunately, my wife's left for 9 years, but I never mind about that. But you like to look forward to a Thursday.
Well, now the wife's back.
Is that what you two are?
For Tuesday.
I feel she's come back too early.
Your work wife.
Yeah, I must admit,
see, when people refer to work wives and work husbands, it's weird, that stuff. But if you two want to go down that road...
It's nice to have them back.
It's fine by me. You've been called worse, I'm sure. 01419511025. Don't pass up the chance to get involved in your double helping of these two this week. We're looking ahead to the game at Ibrox. Adam Ida, Tony Watt, transfers... In fact, there's one breaking news. There's the beauty of live radio. After a fairly successful loan spell at St Mirren last season, Kwon, any guesses? Do you know this already?
No.
No, but he's going back to St Mirren.
Hibs on loan.
Oh, that's
Hibs.
A good signing for Hibs.
Right, okay.
He was good at St Mirren last season, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was excellent.
There you are. Celtic fans, Hibs fans, St Mirren fans even. What do you make of that? Kwon's gone to Hibs on a season-long loan. Whilst you get your calls in, particularly... To kick off with the big game, Rangers fans, give us a call if you're heading along. Let's go to the National Stadium, where I hope we can speak to Andrew McLean.
Yeah, Rangers used to these huge games coming very early in the campaign, aren't they? It never seems to get any easier, though, especially when managers are trying to overhaul, rebuild squads during the summer. And being at Hampden as well, you wonder what sort of effect that will have on it, because Rangers always seem to have something special about them in European games at Ibrox, the atmosphere playing a big part in carrying them through tricky ties. But what will happen here at the National Stadium? From what I understand, it doesn't look close to being a sellout here. So, you know, maybe it's the fact that it's on easily accessible TV, the change of stadium playing a part as well. Possibly, even by default, we won't see that type of occasion that the fans and players are used to on European nights at home for Rangers. But Philip Clement has stressed the importance of getting into the Champions League proper, what it can do for them financially, the fact it could accelerate the plans that he's got for the club as well. But even getting through this round is really important. Rangers still guaranteed a spot in the Europa League group stages if they lose in this round or the next round. But the difference in prize money between getting knocked out in this round and the next round is about £4 or 5 million. So there really is a lot on the line. That still could impact Philip Clement's summer plans. I was here covering the game against Motherwell on Saturday. Rangers had some good spells in the first half, didn't really follow that up in the second half. Some players still getting up to speed. I'm sure some fans are also looking for some more from some of the players that have featured as well. So there are some big decisions for Philip Clement when it comes to team news. You mentioned some of them, Gordon. Specifically, you'd think in midfield and the wide areas as well. Is there a chance Dujon Sterling comes back in? Is Vaclav Cherny ready to start again? Will it be Scott Wright again on the other side? Could we see Jeffty, who impressed there in the second half of the first leg? Rabi Matondo also an option there as well. Team news probably likely to be in about 20, 30 minutes or so. So I'm sure you can debate those points amongst yourself until then.
What was it? Easily accessible telly. He called it Kunsel telly to everybody else that the game's on tonight. But I like that. He's made it sound very professional. And that is the reality. Lots of us will get the chance to keep the eyes on it tonight. So what are you thinking? If you're sitting, getting ready on the couch, or you're heading along, we'll take your points all the same. Particularly keen if you're going, you're going to sample that atmosphere. And I wonder what the Ibrox factor, or the lack of Ibrox factor, should I say, does to the game. We debated this over the weekend, right? And we can't keep doing this every time Rangers play at Hampden and it becomes a bit repetitive. But it is a European night, so that we can't have it both ways. We can't, in the last 5 or 6 seasons, talk about how important Ibrox is on European nights and then disregard the fact that tonight isn't at Ibrox, surely.
I think where we get caught up, and we're not being disrespectful, but if Rangers go to Hampden, domestic football, usually, unless it's Celtic, they're firm favourites to win the game. Now, this is different. It's European, and their best results and best performances have been at Ibrox Park. It's surroundings that they're familiar with, everything about it, the support, the atmosphere, everything that goes with it, Gordon. I'm not saying that Rangers can't win the game tonight. I think they will get through. But I still believe that there's a chance that, you know, they could stumble a little bit because of the circumstances. They need to be at it tonight. They won't, if they perform anywhere near like they did, and all credit to Motherwell, in the second half at Hampden, I don't think they will get through tonight. But I just think that there's something about them. If he gets the right team, we'll debate that later. And Dessers, for me, looks a guy that he's just looking forward to the next game to get goals.
Let's bring in Andy, who is a Rangers fan. Heading along tonight, Andy?
Yes, Gordon, just on traffic. Just now up in Newcastle with my wee boy, again as usual, for the game. So looking forward to it.
Oh, that's right. You've called on midweek games before. That's brilliant commitment. There's not much difference in it for you then. You're coming all that way. So whether it's a couple of cut-offs later or not, it doesn't make much difference to the journey. What does it do to the football game?
I think it changes the atmosphere slightly. It was nice to be back at the weekend and sitting next to the folks that sit around about us at Ibrox. That made a difference. I think it does change things slightly. Do you know what? The whole season, though, has been very strange so far, the start of it. The way last year ended, a bit deflated, pulling ourselves back into a title race that we were out of, getting kind of close to it, and then the way it kind of fell flat. And then the whole situation with Ibrox this season, which has been ridiculous. And then the transfer window, that personally I'm not surprised at the transfer window. It's been a slow transfer window across Europe. And you look at even Celtic paying £9.5 million for Adam Ida is wild money. That's for them to discuss. That's wild. So across football, the transfer window is slow. We went and signed a load of youngsters. I don't know what people in our support expect Clement to do when he's got to fix 3 years of mismanagement. Ever since Gerrard won the title, this squad needed overhauled and it's not been done. So Clement's trying to do, along with Niels Coppin, 3 years of work in one window, and that's not going to happen. Even if we had a £30 or £40 million budget, you couldn't bring in the players required. And we need clubs to take those players. The same ones that we are saying aren't good enough to play in Scotland, we are demanding that the club should have already sold to teams who don't necessarily want them. So a lot of our support has been incredibly unreasonable. And for me, this season needs to be a transitional season. It's very unlikely we win anything. I think Celtic, like I've got many Celtic supporting friends, will be very happy to, as they have done, just stay ahead of Rangers while regressing themselves, and that's to their detriment. But they likely will stay just that bit ahead of us. And I think it's going to be, let Clement do what he needs to do, let him get that massive wage bill down, and all these players that aren't contributing, get them out the door as quickly as possible and get new signings in when we can.
See, but you sound like a really understanding, pragmatic man, Andy. How's that going to work in this unforgiving city? You know, you mentioned not winning anything. It's just not going to go down well, is it? You might be able to stomach it, but I don't know how many of your fellow fans would.
But it's the same fellow fans have had to stomach it for years and years and years now. We're Celtic have won, what is it, 12 or 13 or 13 or 14 league titles. So we can keep doing the same thing every season and rinse and repeat come October, November. Or we can actually understand we've got a couple of guys in charge of the football team and recruitment who know what they're doing. Let them do it. We can't keep trying to bring in strikers that are going to play a game tonight and play a game. I've heard a lot of pundits even. Rangers don't have the firepower in for Hearts and Kiev. Clement's looking at the season come February, March, April, May. It's all very well having players ready for the first half of the season, but every single year, the injuries, we fall off a cliff come February, March with so many competitions and the players aren't physically able to perform. So we need to be able to perform over a whole season and not just the month of August. Ange Postecoglou's first season, Celtic's first 7 games, he had 10 points out of 21. Nobody expected him to go on and do anything, but he was given the time to do it. Now, I'm not saying Clement's going to go on and win a double or a treble this season, but we need to give him the time to bring in his players and bed them in.
Yeah, I mean, he was here last season, though, so that's where, or for a lot of us, that's where the Ange Postecoglou comparison maybe doesn't work fully. But I do take Andy's point. That's why tonight's so important, though, Gordon, because even if you are as understanding as Andy and you're saying that it's going to take a bit of time, even going through tonight, as Andrew McLean points out, forget making the group stages, that's worth a fortune, but even going to this next round is £4 million. Philippe Clement was very clear about it yesterday. That speeds up this process. That speeds up this build that is going to take time, that Andy says.
Yeah, and that's why the game tonight's so important. And that's why I think slightly they've gave up that advantage and the fact that, unfortunately, they have to play at Hampden. It's obviously getting a bit old news now. That's what happens. You've just got to go on with it. Rangers fans will need to accept it. The players will need to adapt to it. But I think it's massive for Rangers tonight. I agree with Andy's points about there's rebuild, there's players there that they've got to get out the door, and Clement's got to get backed and bring in his own players and own quality. If I'm looking at it negatively, I've still not seen since he came into the building what his style of football is, right? Nobody can tell me what his style of football is. I know the Rangers fans love him, but I have no idea I just think he plays straight football, right? You look at across the city, you look at what the way Celtic are playing in the first couple of games, look at their pre-season, the sharpness, everything about them, rotations and what everything they're doing. Now, whether that's the fact that he's not got the players in that he wants that can do that for him, that's a different story. But I'd like to see something different happen for him. Now, this is massive for him tonight. I thought first half against Motherwell, I thought they looked really sharp. I thought they were right at it. And then all of a sudden, second half, they took a massive dip. Andy's talking about using the squads because obviously he's thinking about further on. My big question also is, you've got a £5.5 million striker sitting who's not had any game time at all. And you're asking the same guy to do the same job every single game since the season started. So I'm just wondering why these small things that probably are small things to Rangers supporters, I just don't understand what the manager's going with.
Well, Andy mentioned this season's a transitional season. I think if I was a Rangers fan, I'd be fed up of hearing that. It just seems it's a never-ending cycle. Every season's a transitional period. And how do you get out of that cycle?
But it's not, to be fair, is it though? Because that's the point. Keep sacking the manager in the autumn. Yeah. So you wouldn't do that if everyone accepted it was a transitional season.
Exactly. So how do you get out of that? You give the manager time, of course, but I think you've got to see signs of progression, and both can be right. Andy's saying about the players, he's not got the players to do it yet, and he needs time to get his players in. But Daz is right as well. Good coaches, even if they've not got all that are living on paper that they want in, brought in, they can still make a difference to the players that they've got in the building. And you can still see glimpses of what they're trying. Andy mentioned Ange Postecoglou. Anthony Ralston and Greg Taylor were getting battered from pillar to post. But in those opening stages, you went, wow, he's transformed them into inverted fullbacks. I can see his style of play. And it followed suit, and he brought in better players.
And then Greg Taylor became... you had to Tati, you had really down the line.
So it then becomes a much smoother machine. And with Daz in this one, Philippe Clement's got a very good group of players, a budget that dwarfs anybody apart from Celtic in the league, but still you don't see exciting free-flowing football. That's on the manager, that's not on the players, and I think he needs to do something about that quickly.
Well, it'll be win at all costs tonight, and the style debate can go on, I'm sure. If you're interested, Rangers fans, it's 1-0 to RB Salzburg. They're 3-1 up on aggregate, yeah. So do the job tonight, and it looks like it will be them rather than 20 that you would play in the next round. Will there be a next round, Billy, who's on the line? You confident?
Depends. I mean, if it's the way we played against him last week, I am confident. Yeah. I mean, but if we put in any of the Premier League performances, I'm not confident.
That's where early in the season is really difficult, because you've not got much to go on. And we, you know, Hearts, there's a lot of negativity, a lot of doom and gloom. Roll on to the first leg of this tie, and you go, oh, hold on a minute, maybe Rangers actually aren't that bad. That was a good performance, a good result, away from home. Take care of that next week. But then Saturday's second half performance has dented Billy's optimism clearly. So you go from
I can understand that, because there are glimpses when you see Rangers at times, you think, yeah, okay, that's them starting to hit the ground running, they're looking sharp. I thought they started the game very well against Motherwell. At Tynecastle, people will go back to, well, Postecoglou pitched up there and lost his first game, you know, all the history that goes with it. Hearts are a very good side, but they didn't show that, obviously, up at Dundee, but they had a very strong squad. So coming away there with draws is not a disaster. The thing that I worry about tonight, and we're forgetting, Rangers went away from home. This team, we don't know what they're capable of, because it was a neutral ground for them as well. Mm. They played in Poland. That's not their home pitch. So they're coming to Hampden probably with no fear, because they know that Rangers are now playing in the same level. So it's a funny circumstances, this tie. But I just think that if Rangers play to their capability tonight, and I keep going back to it, I love the way Dessers has started the season. I've really taken to him now. If they can get some chances in there, I know that he gets criticised for missing, but he'll find the back of net for him.
Billy, anyone that you think, you know, must play, must come into the team, or anyone that you want to see dropped out the team as an example, what are you hoping for tonight?
Sterling. Sterling's got to come in massively. I mean, and I was on last month, you know what I mean, when one of your callers, Jobs, who's a Rangers supporter as well, said that Conor Goldson and Tav would start the first league game. And I said, hey, Conor Goldson's definitely not going to be there. And sure as hell, you know what I mean, within a couple of days, you know what I mean, his suitcase is packed on the way to the airport. But we've got ready three serial losers, know what I mean, and Conor Goldson, Borna Barisic and John Lundstrom, who have basically set the Turkish league on fire already, I think, know what I mean. They've not conceded a goal, but they've not scored a goal either, have they?
Billy, just quickly, you say Sterling coming in tonight, and I agree with that 100%. Where are you putting him? Midfield, are you saying leave out Tavernier?
No, midfield.
Yeah. So and leave out Tom Lawrence?
Yes.
Can you see it? So 100%.
I think
Farron and Diamande have had praise early in the season. Tom Lawrence hasn't. He just sacrificing that whole creativity and letting one of Diamande go further forward.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened tonight. I would certainly find somewhere for Sterling.
I play Sterling wide. He's done it before.
Cherny plays on one side, and
yeah, he could do that. But
Scott
I think
Wright
that
out.
If he picks his strongest side, he's got to get
what
Sterling
the
on
hope,
the pitch.
What about the hope from the first leg, or the inspiration from the first leg of Jeffty coming from?
He was excellent.
Nowhere to play
half.
Higher up. Is that not a possibility tonight?
Well, why wouldn't you? You know, if you've got the evidence in playing that way in the previous leg, why wouldn't you play there? But I agree with Daz, and I agree with Billy. Sterling, I think,
get him in somewhere. Okay, well, we'll get the team news very soon. 01419511025. A fee rising to $9.5 million for Adam Ida. Celtic fans, it looks like you've got your man. Is he worth every penny, or is that more than you thought the club would pay? Let us know right now, and we'll speak to you next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here on 0141 951 1025. We're asking you Rangers fans for all your pre-match thoughts, whatever that looks like. A prediction, your confidence levels, where are they, your team lineup suggestions, discussions about the Hampden factor, whatever it is, get your calls into us. But it's not the only show in town, because there are various big stories. Just as we were finishing off last night, it became apparent that Celtic are about to sign Adam Ida. I mean, I say that, it's not been confirmed yet, but a fee potentially rising to £9.5 million. That's the bit that really has got everyone talking today. So Celtic fans, worth every penny, or more than you would have liked to pay? Give us your thoughts. Kevin's going to kick that off. Kevin, what do you make of it?
Evening, guys.
Hello, you alright?
It's just the Adam Ida thing. Mm-hmm. I think £9.5 million is a bit too much.
Based on, did he not catch your eye last season as much as other people? Or
I'm thinking the way it's been done, I feel that he's thrown his toys out the pram to get the move, which Celtic in the past, there's a couple of players done that before. Like recently, Giakoumakis and Van Hooijdonk done it as well. And I'm no infer. I think Ida could be a problem player in 2 or 3 years' time.
I wonder, Mark, if that's fair. I think a couple of weeks ago, when this stuff about missing the flight out for Norwich pre-season, I get why people would put two and two together on that. But it now seems like he didn't chuck the toys out the pram. He came on for Norwich in the weekend. At a time when one of his teammates refused to play because he wanted to move away and presumably sat in the house on Saturday. Adamida didn't. He got his head down, he went, he was on the bench and he came on. So I don't know if Kevin's fears are...
No, this is where we've got to be careful, you know, jumping to conclusions because of that incident. You know, all sorts of things could have happened. Could have been a breakdown in communication that because there was talks ongoing, he may have not thought he was part of the squad and that just led to that circumstance. But you're right in saying he was part of the squad at the weekend. He's trained, he's played. So Celtic are getting a player who's up to speed. In terms of the price tag, I mean, it's fees rising up to that. Now, that could mean a whole lot of things that probably only Celtic and Norwich will know. Maybe Champions League appearance or Champions League qualification or so many caps for Republic of Ireland or maybe them getting to a tournament, and all these things could pile on add-ons or as many goals, you know, there could be a target on there. Now, if it's his goals, well, fine, because that's what he's been brought to the club to do. And if you're looking for a striker to come and score 20-plus goals a season, and if that comes at a premium, then fine, because that is the going rate for it. But in terms of what he did last season, it's hard push to find a striker that would come to the club and score really significant goals that made a real impact in the silverware that was brought to the club. Couple at Easter Road, couple at Fir Park, one against Rangers at Ibrox, and then the one that wins the cup final. If you're bringing in loan players with an option to buy, or if you're looking to then purchase, they don't come much better than that. So it's taking a wee bit of time to go over the line.
Are you comfortable with the fee?
Look, it's more. When it came at 9.5 million, it was more than I ever thought it was going to be, because I thought they were quibbling over £6 million. But again, I don't know what those add-ons are. I don't know what
the parameters
are.
Well, to be fair, I think the reports are, even the upfront fee's eight and a half, I think.
Eight and a half, is it? So,
not necessarily upfront, but initial fee.
Yeah, more than I thought. But look, 23 years old and an international striker who scored goals at Celtic. I think both clubs have done well, actually. I think Norwich has done well because he's a player that's obviously not on the first team thinking. And Celtic's got a player who can score goals for them.
There's no doubt they've pushed the ball out. There's no doubt in that. But to give Celtic a bit of credit, he was the number one target, right? So Brendan Rodgers must have wanted him back in the building as quickly as he possibly could, because Mark's quite right in what he says. The stats back it up. He was terrific when he came into Celtic, and the goals and he contributed. So he knows the club, he knows the manager, he knows everything about it. Now, Norwich have dug their heels in, want it a little bit extra. Celtic have maybe looked at the situation and thought, right, that's our number one target. Are we prepared to go that little bit extra? The answer's yes, and there have obviously a couple of add-ons. For that sort of money, I think going forward, Mark's right, at 23 years age, Brendan Rodgers has got this knack of improving players. I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, Kev, I don't know if you spend as much time on social media as I do, unfortunately, and you'll have seen both sides of this. Lots of Celtic fans are just happy that he's proven Brendan Rodgers wanted him. Look at the goals he scored last season. As Mark says, good age, international footballer. On the other side, people say he couldn't get a game for Norwich, or he wasn't the first choice at Norwich. He is going to be back up to Kyogo, and that's a massive fee. So I don't know, where are you on that?
I'm happy they've got somebody in, because the way it's talking now, Kyogo could be injured. So we're left with, I mean, Mikey Johnson, was that a concussion on Sunday? So he could be out for a bit. So I'm glad they've got him in. It's just the way they've went about it. I feel that he's dug his heels in for the move, and I think I probably thrown the toys out the pram.
Do you think he did, though? As I said to Mark, he came on as a sub for Norwich at the weekend. He could have got injured. That could have scuppered his moves. Is that really toys out the pram stuff?
He's a professional footballer. Norwich was his parent club, so he's got to do what he's told. But I think he's made it quite clear, and he's made it difficult for Norwich.
I think that's a bit. I think, sorry, Gordon, I think it's a bit unfair, because in today's game, Adamida could easily went to the manager's door and said, "Look, my head's not on this game, right?" And if you're a manager, there's no way in the world you're involving him in your squad. So he's obviously not done that, and you're right there. He could easily get injured. That could have wrecked his move to Celtic. Look, I think
I don't mean to be pedantic, but the phrase "toys out the pram" is you not doing what you're told. Now, Kev then says, it's his parents' club, he needs to do what he's told. but you don't, as one of his teammates showed at the weekend, or as people thought he had done when he didn't get on this flight to wherever it was.
Yeah, and I think the manager would have been strong enough to say, right, okay, you look at, for instance, look at Rangers. Todd Cantwell's went to Clermont. I don't want to, I want out, blah, blah. He's not been featured. Now, managers would do that. He was on the bench, so he must have trusted him enough to bring him on. So I think that's a bit unfair.
Thanks to Kev. Shannon said, I'd have been happy with Celtic paying 9.5 for that Scottish Cup winner alone. Far less everything else he did for the club, plus the clear love he has. What do you think out there? We have team news as well from Hampden. So you've got options here. You want to come on about Adam Ida's signing, imminent signing and transfer fee, or you want to react to this team or something else, give us a shout. But Andrew McLean is going to enlighten us.
Yeah, the two changes come out wide for Philip Clermont, which means Vaclav Cherny drops to the bench, as does Scott Wright. In come Ross McCausland and Jeff Day, who will be playing on that left wing role. So it'll be Jack Butland in goal, the back four, James Tavernier, John Souter, Robin Proper and Ridvan Yilmaz. Conor Barron and Mohamed Diamandé, the two holding midfielders. Ross McCausland, Tom Lawrence and Jeff Day in behind the striker, Cyril Dessers. The substitutes, Kelly, Matondo, Cherny, Dowell, Sterling, Wright, Davies, King, Fraser, McKinnon, Rice and Danilo.
I've just time travelled. I've gone back to last midweek where the team was announced, and I'm not going to go all Hugh Evans here and say that I know exactly how all the fans feel, but the Rangers fans are just not going to like the fact that Cherny isn't starting. We know why it is, because Philippe Clermont said he's not ready to start every game. He started at the weekend. It still is going to be a blow. You look at what he did at Hampden at the weekend, and again, this might be out of date by 9 o'clock. Might be a Ross McCausland masterclass, or Cherny comes off the bench and does something. But right now, they're going to have wanted to have seen him in that starting 11, aren't they?
100%. And we touched on it earlier. I was saying that he must find a place for Sterling tonight. Look, we had this debate. I was on the show last Tuesday and I disagreed with one or two of the decisions. And to be fair, Rangers manager come away with a very good result. You know, Dessers in the last kick of the ball. So very hard to argue. And on the plus side, McCausland, who had not featured at all, had not a bad game, and he had a terrific effort to come off the post. Jeff did come on at half time. I thought he was excellent, Gord. I really did. I thought he gave Rangers a better balance, going up that left hand side, looked very good indeed. But Rangers are at Hampden tonight, right? This is their, what they call their home tie. Cherny, I thought he looked different class of the week.
That again, it's clearly not too related games to form, though, is it?
Yeah,
because if it was, he would play. I mean, he set up the equaliser and he scored a screamer at the weekend.
Yeah,
if it was form related, he would play.
But if it was a player that hadn't played for months and months and months, I would totally grasp Tuesday, Sunday, maybe too much load onto the lad. But he's not, and he's been bedded in. He come on against Hearts, you know what I mean? So he's been bedded in. He then played last week, on Sunday. So unless the manager and the...
Saturday,
sorry, I'm getting mixed up. And unless the manager and obviously the fitness coaches have decided, look, it's too much an overload for him.
Well, it must be that. But
maybe I'm just old-fashioned now that I just can't understand it. He's been a player he's match fit, right? He's match fit. You're not telling me he can't go out and play tonight, right? So he must be using him as an impact player. Another one for me is a bit disappointed to understand maybe Sterling. I think Sterling gives Rangers so much. But the manager's decided this is a team to go forward and get the result. And hopefully for the Rangers fans, he's correcting his decision
tonight. What do you make of that Rangers team, Rangers fans? There is no Vaclav Cherny from the start, no Dujon Sterling from the start. Have you any grumbles there? Or is it all about bringing them off the bench maybe and making an impact? What do you make of that starting 11 this evening? What we'll do is ask Sean for a bit of patience. He's been hanging on the line, but I want to give him a bit of room to breathe with his points. So let me tell you about this first, and we'll speak to Sean afterwards. Right, cash register this week. We're going to put out our biggest prize of the year so far. It would go into your bank account within the hour. So it's an incredible opportunity for someone out there. £280,000. Think of the things you could do with that cash in the bank. If you enter now, make sure you remember that amount, £280,000. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only. Entries since we opened the lines on the 22nd of July have rolled over, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. The lines close at 5pm on Friday. To win, answer your phone within the five rings. Tell us this week's cash register amount, £280,000 as discussed, and it would be paid into your bank straight after the call. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson here, 0141 951 1025. We're doing a few things, spinning plates as always. Of course, there's a big game which is exactly an hour away, give or take 10 seconds from kickoff at Hampden. So we're asking for your reaction to the team Rangers fans: Butland, Tavernier, Suter, Proper, Yilmaz, Demande, Barron, McCausland, Lawrence, Jeffrey, Dessers. So no Cherney or Sterling from the start at Clyde SSB. Adam says the back line is bordering on criminal. Good to see they're taking it, you know, just no overreacting here. GM says ticket for sale, North Stand, C3. Questionable lineup, says Jamie. If you've got any more positive thoughts or similar, you can share them. Let's go back to the phone lines though and see what we've got on Adam. Ida's imminent, I think. We keep saying it over the summer, but it should be. It should be just round the corner. And it's the size of the fee, I think, that's got some people debating. Sean's in Edinburgh. What's your take on it, Sean?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. You?
Good, aye. Not bad. I've been trying to go on this show for about 3 years, so
well, there you go. It's a pleasure to have you. Let's hope it was worth the wait, Sean.
It was, aye. So it's just in regards to the Adam Ida transfer, and I've kind of been seeing a lot online about the sizeable, or what people are saying is too much for Adam Ida, 9.5 million. He's been our main target the whole summer. The guy basically, hands down, you could say, or it could be argued, that he won us the league, he won us the Scottish Cup, scored very important goals. 9.5 million for a player from the English Championship is kind of, well, it's buttons basically. The board apparently haven't been spending money, and fans have been up in arms about this. And then they spend the money, and then it's almost turned into a negative thing. And so, what the panel think about that?
Yeah, but that bit would have to be knocked on the head, Mark, because there is still a real possibility, and I'm sure he'll contribute a lot, but. Is he going to be Celtic's second choice striker, is he not?
Well, yeah, depends how you frame that. You know, he's going to play enough games, second choice
striker. That's what I mean. To be fair, I'm saying that deliberately to go on to the point that Sean makes about the board. If you're putting up 9.5 million for a guy that is your second choice, I'm not saying he's a reserve that's never going to get any football, but, you know, sort of big game tomorrow, who plays? It's probably still Kyogo. Yeah. So. Okay. That's a financial commitment, as Sean says, against the backdrop of accusations that they don't spend the money.
Well, that's the thing. How many calls have we taken on this show, or tweets have we seen that Celtic have got all this money, yet they're refusing to spend it? And we even criticise how long they've taken to get some of these deals over. For two players, Bernardo and Ida, it's taken an awful long time to negotiate. But then what you can't do is then, flip it and say, well, that's far too much. Because if Celtic... if we'd heard reports that Celtic had bid 7.5 million and Norwich had just said no, and someone else came in and got them for 9 million, you could be sure that the Celtic board would be getting slammed again for not going that extra couple of million for them. So they've obviously listened to the manager. I think Daz said that earlier, that Brendan Rodgers obviously wanted this player back. And I'm pretty sure when Brendan Rodgers agreed to be back at the club, that would have been one of his kind of... you know, main rules, that players that he wanted and he went all out for, that he got.
And by the way, maybe he does have a master plan that either sees them both in the team, or Adam Ida does establish his first choice. I don't know. I think generally the way they look at the moment,
I think he'll play a massive part, there's no doubt.
Well, he did last season, didn't he?
Yeah, of course. It was 9 goals or something. But Mark's 100% right. If Celtic had lost this target, their number one target, for say $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million, even push it to $2 million, Celtic fans would have been on here criticising the board left, right and centre. This is a player that Brendan Rodgers has sat patiently and basically said, that's the guy I want. And it'd be fair to the Celtic board, they've went out and delivered. Now, you can argue, maybe we add-ons 9.5 too much. Celtic, we hear it all the time, cash rich. They've maybe paid over the odds, but I think it's worthwhile because they know what they're getting. They know what sort of striker they're getting. He's been in the club before. He's scored goals before. The fans love him. So I think that's a good bit of business.
How do you think he compares to Odson Edwards, Sean? Because it's just the last striker that was brought in for a similar fee.
Yeah, for $9 million. He's had half a season last season. Time will tell. I think the guy knows where the net is, so I've kind of got faith that he's going to. I think he oust Kyogo, if I'm being honest. He's younger than Kyogo. You know, that might sound controversial, but Kyogo's got a shoulder injury as well. Plus, I think it's clear that Brendan Rodgers, you know, he likes a big centre forward in regards to, well, you mentioned Odson Edwards there as well. I could be wrong, but he might go with that kind of physical centre forward.
Yeah, maybe he will. Can you see it, Mark? I mean,
yeah, well, horses for courses. Depends which game. Might have a different idea for the Champions League instead of this total football and wide open. Maybe some games that he might just go direct. You can't do that with Kyogo. Weida, you've got a lot in there. You know, he's quite mobile as well. It's not just, he's this target man that you need to play up to. And he can score a variety of goals. I think when you're comparing it with Edward, I think no doubt about it, Edward was a technically more gifted player than Ida ever was. But the point that, again, Daz makes it, Celtic know what they're getting just now. If you had to go out and spend £9.5 million on the continent for a player coming in, has to settle in, how many games can he play because he's not up to speed, what Clement's saying about a couple of the Rangers players, and you're never quite sure, you're desperate for them to score that first goal so they're up and running. Ida's done all that. He's less pressure on his shoulders and he can just fit right back into that squad.
Hopefully the days of looking through these clues are coming to an end because it is dragging on, but he's not in the Norwich squad tonight for their EFL Cup match. Again, whether that means it's particularly imminent or not, we'll wait and see. Let's thank Sean and bring in Andy. As a Celtic fan, Andy, how do you feel about it?
First of all, I'd like to welcome Adam Eder to Celtic Football Club when he comes. What I'm about to say has no reflection on Adam Eder. I believe Celtic made Adam Eder Adam Eder. We're taking a player on loan who probably last year you might have got for £2 million quid. You wouldn't have known who he was. We didn't take the gamble. We brought him in on loan. By all accounts, we or the Celtic support largely thought, because we were having conversations towards the end of last year, is he worth £6 million quid? Because we believed there was a pre-agreement on £6 million quid. The bigger fear for me is that Peter Lowell, who I never criticise, I think he's absolutely been the best signing Celtic's ever made in their history, I fear that he's given to Brendan Rodgers and we've paid way over the odds for Adam Eder.
Try and elaborate first, yeah. Gordon. So what you, all the Celtic, well, the few Celtic fans we've had on, Andy, think he's definitely worth that fee. It doesn't sound like you do. You don't think he's a £9 million player?
I don't believe he's a £9 million player, because when he came to Celtic, he hadn't done anything. So if we had did our business right in the first place, we wouldn't be paying anywhere near £9 million quid for Adam Eder.
But like, I think that's a ridiculous thing to say. You've got a player there that, for what he did for Celtic, has drove his value. So that's drove his value up, and that's what Norwich valued him at, and that's what Pierre Lawwell and Brendan Rodgers valued him at, because they're happy enough to pay it.
Mark, me and you had a conversation in this station towards the end of last year where I said that Celtic should pay the £6 million quid, and you reckoned they should pay about £5 million.
Yeah.
So he's worth £9 million quid now. Why? Because somebody says it. The fact is, Celtic brought Adam Eder in. Adam Eder wouldn't have scored in the Scottish Cup final. He wouldn't have scored against Rangers unless Celtic gave him that platform. That's the whole gist. So the business should have been done in the first place. where if you're bringing a player in on loan, which I don't agree with in the first place, by the way, I really don't believe in making anybody else's players better than they are, then the agreement should have been in place that Celtic paid X, Y,
but Andy, what happens if you bring a player in, you pay a lot of money and he fails, right? You're better, for me sometimes, you're better bringing in a player. Now, let's clarify one thing. Peter Lawwell's nothing to do with this at all. He doesn't take any business in transfers with Brendan Rodgers. That's done through the CEO. So him and Brendan Rodgers have went out there and they've paid their money. They've decided it's worth it. I totally understand that at the beginning you're thinking, oh, we could have got him for $2 million. I don't think you could have. It'd have probably been less than 9.5 by the time the add-ons come. But you cannot have it both ways. You can't turn around and say, well, Celtic are cash rich, but now we've paid too money. They've maybe went over their budget a little bit on them, but Brendan Rodgers would probably be sitting there saying to the board, do you know what? It's worth every penny of it. And you've got to put the trust in your manager.
I would agree with Andy's last point there, though. I would totally agree with that. If you're bringing loan players in where an option to buy it, or you know, you're thinking you might be interested in the summer, I think the deal should be done.
Because then you avoid it. Doing this. You make it more expensive.
So it was Carter Vickers.
Carter
Vickers was the same. Was he not brought in on loan? And was it not in place? It was £6 million that would have been paid. And that worked out fine. So I totally agree with Andy in that situation.
Just purely for fun, a wee hypothetical heading into the news. Would you have signed Miovsky for 6.8 or whatever it was, or Ida for 8.5 or whatever it is?
Do you know something? I thought that'd come up all night.
I'm just curious. Because by the way, Miovsky might not have wanted to, and he's got a great move to La Liga, so it's just for fun.
Do you know something? Just for fun, I would probably, because of what I've seen of Ida at Celtic, how he can handle a club like Celtic and what he gave them,
he's worth the $2 million. I would probably,
and I love Miovsky, I would have probably decided with that.
Okay. I would have gambled on Miovsky for cheaper.
There you go. Well, it's maybe not everyone's idea of fun. I just thought I'd ask the question because it's that time of the night already. Let's play
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Still plenty of mileage left in that though. What do you make of this Adam Ida business? And tonight, we're now about 50 minutes away from kickoff. Rangers fans, how are you feeling? What do you make of the team that Philippe Clement has picked? Give us a call right now, but we're also going to play Beat the Pundit. It is your chance to take on Mark Wilson or Gordon Dalziel. And if you call before 7 o'clock, you'll be in the hat. 01419511025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here on 0141 951 1025. Why not give us a call? Let us know what you're thinking. 45-ish minutes away from kickoff at Hampden. How are you feeling, Rangers fans? You've heard the team. Is it the right team by Philippe Clement? Would you have done something different? How are you feeling tonight? What difference does the European games being at Hampden make to you? All of the usual questions ahead of a game like this. Celtic fans, there's a good old debate going about Adam Ida's deal. Lots of you getting in touch to say, worth the money, Celtic have got it, why not, number one target, etc. And then before the break, mixed up a bit with a, he's never a £9.5 million player, was the point from the previous caller. So whatever you're thinking tonight, I can see Kilmarnock, Motherwell fans getting in touch. Let's try and do that as well, because there's lots to get through. Let's play first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see what we've got. How's the form? Have you both played this season?
Both 100% records.
Have you played, Mark?
No, I've not played yet, but 100%.
Okay.
100% here for a dazzler.
Have you not won yet?
No.
Lost a couple, have you?
I won. Played one, lost one. I was away from home. That was the time where Minbar had the blisters when
The blisters on your tongue.
Yeah. I met a guy in the McCown, gym this morning at 7:30 slaughtering you for your Beat the Pundit.
Hey, McCown. Wasn't it a fan of you? I was unfortunately, and I didn't get it with the one, but.
Were you getting a bit of stick on social media for that performance?
I don't go on social media.
I do. You're big on your Instagram. And
yeah, people love me on Instagram. They don't criticise me. How have you seen stick? I'll chase them. chap their door.
That's a lie. I'll find them. You are on Twitter. We discovered your burner Twitter account, remember? We discovered it years ago.
No, I was on Twitter 15 years ago.
Right, and so someone's just found your account.
And somebody's... Aye, I wouldn't even know where to find my account.
Remember how good that day was we found his account and it followed only one person? Who was it you followed again?
Well...
Who was the one person that you followed?
Well, I liked Peter Andre at the time and I couldn't get him, so I followed his girlfriend, Katie Price.
She's quiet on Twitter these days anyway.
Still following her?
I don't know. Katie and I. I missed the boat, yeah.
Graham.
Missed a good picture.
Graham and Riley are... Oh, you've got two to beat. Graham and Riley.
No, you can't two.
How's it going, Graham?
Afternoon, yeah. Just sat outside Ibrook.
Don't do that.
You're a round game.
He's like, something quiet around here. Who's Riley? Your son?
My son, he's nine, so
brilliant.
He's
going to help you out?
He's my handy helper.
Good man, right, let's see what we've got. Heads, it will be Mark Wilson. Tails, it will be Gordon DL. Mark's not played yet this season, and his weight goes on. It's Tails, Gordon DL up against Graham and Riley. Let's give Gordon something else to listen to rather than us, and we'll get your timer ready, Graham. It's really simple, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. If you'd rather pass than guess an answer, you can pass and move on to the next one, okay?
Cool.
Let's go, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Václav Černý is on loan to Rangers from which club?
Werder Bremen.
Who was the manager of Dundee before Tony Docherty?
Pass.
Who's the only team Celtic beat in the Champions League last season?
Pass.
Which country won the men's Olympic football gold at the weekend?
Brazil.
Name either team that scored 11 in the SWPL at the weekend.
Rangers women.
How many Scottish premierships has Artur Boric won?
Two.
Who did Queen's Park play on Saturday in the League Cup?
Fairman.
Okay, let's bring him back. Gordon DL, can you hear us? Tough tonight.
What?
I said they're tough tonight.
Okay.
Thanks for... You were just...
What?
He wasn't even...
How could
listening.
You not hear him? You've got earphones on.
I hear him now, yeah.
He was too busy scrolling through Twitter during Graham's attempt just to see what he could find. Are you ready, Gordon?
Yes.
Right, I'm going to put 30 seconds on your clock as well. Same set of questions and your time starts now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What's happening?
Watch as well as listen.
Brilliant.
Who knows?
I'll be back.
Who knows if we're talking to anyone or if it's just us? Are we on air? Are we off air? Who knows?
Who pressed that button? Who fell asleep in the production room?
I think we might be back.
Right, okay.
Graham and Riley, can you still hear us?
Hello?
Yep.
Oh, that's a good sign. I think we're on air. Will we just play Beat the Pundit anyway and see what happens?
Right, go.
Gordon DL, your time starts now. Václav Černý is on loan to Rangers from which club?
Wolfsburg.
Who was the manager of Dundee before Tony Docherty?
Pass, can't be.
Who's the only team Celtic beat in the Champions League last season?
Sevilla.
Which country won the men's Olympic football gold at the weekend?
Spain.
Name either team that scored 11 in the SWPL at the weekend.
Celtic.
How many Scottish premierships has Artur Boric won?
Three.
Who do Queen's Park play on Saturday in the League Cup? Three, two,
Ross
one
County.
Time up. Graham, how do you think it went?
They were hard.
What are you thinking, Graham?
Hey, I'm not sure.
Good. It's never good when you're not sure. Let's go through them.
Which
then.
The English lad with the glasses?
Just wait. Václav Černý is on loan from... Graham's going to kick himself. It is Wolfsburg. He said Werder Bremen. Well done.
And then Riley told me that after I know.
Let's see. Always listen to your 9 year old. He's the man
in
the north.
I can see the Dundee manager, English boy,
Gary Bowyer.
That's him. Couldn't remember his name.
There we go. So still 1-0 Gordon DL. None of you knew that Celtic beat...
It was Feyenoord.
It was Feyenoord in the Champions League last season.
I just whipped again.
Sevilla.
I don't even know when I got that for you.
The men's Olympic football gold was won by Spain. Just winning everything at the moment. 2-0, Gordon DL. The reason we laughed at this one, I hadn't checked the questions, and at the previous break, Mark, me, and the other
Rangers.
Gordon, We were talking about the SWPL results at the weekend. We were actually talking about it, and we said that Rangers scored 11 and Hearts scored 11, and you said Celtic.
Celtic scored 9, didn't they?
Yeah, but we just spoke about it like 5 minutes prior.
Anyway, I just showed you I don't listen to any of these.
Exactly. Graham pulled one back.
Oh, well done, Graham.
Getting nervy. Who do Queen's Park play on Saturday in the League Cup? It's Aberdeen. None of you got it, which means it all comes down to this. Because if Graham gets it, he equalises.
Oh, no, I'm going on a tie break.
If Gordon gets it...
I didn't get that far.
You got one more in. How many premierships has Arthur Boric won? Graham said 2.
I said 3.
You said 3.
Mark?
I think it's 3.
It's 3.
Yes! He's off and running!
Devastated,
yes!
Graham.
DL! You are the man.
Absolutely devastated, Graham.
Hey, Graham, I would have loved to give you a ball for you and your son.
Graham, you should have listened.
Unfortunately, that's not going to happen.
You should have listened to Riley.
Did Riley say 3?
No, but he knew the Wolfsburg one.
He knew the Wolfsburg guy.
What are you thinking about the game tonight then?
I think 2-0. He says 2-1.
Right, okay, so either way going through. You'll have probably heard in the car. What did you make of that team? I can see a few Rangers fans, I suppose, frustrated that Cherney isn't starting. They'll understand it's bound to be a fitness thing, but is that you know, you
surprised at that one? I was there on Saturday, first half, I thought we played all right, probably like you have described, and Cherney was a big part of that. So second half was a bit flatter. McCausland came on, and I was surprised he started this game, but I thought Sterling would have started as well. I thought that was a certainty when you started the show at 6. I thought that was same as Gordon said. I thought Sterling was handpicked to start, but we'll see. I still think we'll get through. I think we've done enough the first leg to create enough chances, so I think we'll be in the next round.
Just to be fair, right, if it's only a week ago that we fell into this trap, Gordon, and 1 week ago it was more about the team that finished the game than the team that started it. Should we bear that in mind a bit more before we get really hung up again on what the starting 11
100%
like?
Because we only go with opinions, Gordon, and at the end of the day, you've got to say last week, if Rangers, you gave them a 1-1 at the beginning of the game, they'd have taken it all day long. So the Rangers manager had a game plan, and the game plan worked. Because they scored in the last minute. They're 1-1. They're now firm favourites tonight to go through. I still think it will be
firm
different.
Favourites. Yeah. I like to pick you all up on the words that you use.
Right. I think most people will tip Rangers, right? The only worry I have got, see if this was Ibrox, I would be 100% behind Rangers thinking, yeah, guaranteed they will go through tonight. Because I think with the fact of the way they perform at Ibrox, atmosphere, everything about it, their home comforts, everything goes with that. The only worry that I've got is it's Hampden Park. That's the only problem I've got. But I still think Rangers get into this favourites tonight because I think that they've got a guy up front that will score goals now. I think he's in one of these. I know that he missed a few against Hearts. I thought he was unlucky against Hearts. He scored another terrific goal. He's got 2 goals. He's looking sharp. So if he can get the service to Dessers, yes. I know what everybody's saying out there, sitting, listening to radios going, oh, he misses chances. Every top striker misses chances.
This is where, Mark, we would have to bow down and admit that we're certainly not sports scientists. We're barely capable of getting through 2 hours of a radio phone-in show. So we're not sports scientists. And maybe one can phone up and explain it if there is a big difference in what I'm about to say here. Cherney played 57 minutes at the weekend, right? So it's not a lot, obviously. And it's not like he played the full 90. I wonder what the genuinely wonder, it's not a criticism, what the wisdom is in thinking that, because say he comes on for 30 minutes tonight, you know, say he comes on for the last half hour and Rangers need something, or he starts the game again and plays 57 minutes again.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, by even my dodgy arithmetic, that's not much difference. Do you see where I'm going? Don't make me count them up.
No, but understand. And I think a lot of Rangers fans will think the same.
So see if he'd played 90 at the weekend and then you come on for the last half hour today, that maybe make... But he came off after 57, so I wonder why you don't do that again today or you prefer to bring him on.
Look, it would seem like they've got some sort of plan for the opening, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks for Cherney. But I think when you see him coming on at Tynecastle and then you see him start at Hampden against Motherwell. I think any supporter or anybody else he was sitting here think, right, this guy's up to speed. Now, when he's withdrawn after 57 minutes, you automatically assume, well, that's in mind of keeping him for starting the game, because I'm one to believe that you start with your best 11 or the best available 11 to you on a night like tonight. So time will tell if it backfires, but if it is a sports science decision, I'm a wee bit old-fashioned with Daz. I think sports science has a lot to say in that for the game.
The Rangers have been stung by players just being injured for too long, haven't they? So whether it's an extra cautious approach or not, we'll wait and see. Thanks to Graham and Riley. Not enough on Beat the Pundit. Your first win. I love this. Is it producer Chris that's in there?
I don't know,
because you've got it in for him and you don't really see eye to eye.
I've not seen him tonight.
He's here.
He's here.
I've seen him. It's just because he's piped in. You know that way that people do it. We do it in football as well. Like you throw a stat in, really to try and like kind of twist the knife. He says it's your first win since the 20th of June. I mean, but that, I think that's sneaky because we've not played Beat the Pundit that long over the summer. Like, do you know what I mean? But it makes it sound worse for you when he produces
no
a stat like that.
Him the corridor.
Ask if it was him that took his affair there briefly. Get back.
Who, you talk about producer Chris, the mic was hanging off the that thing last week. Thursday night?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Oh, it was last Tuesday. And then he's trying to put his fingers down the smallest hole I've ever seen in my life to get a bit to put it back on. And I'm sitting trying to hold the mic.
That's a really good story. I'm glad you shared that with everybody.
You can see he was annoyed there trying to get that story out. Aye, yeah, is that good?
That's brilliant.
What do you think?
Radio gold, that was. Anyway.
None of us like him. That's a good thing.
I like him.
No,
like
you
him.
Don't. We talk behind his back.
Anyway. You think Adam Ida is the big striker transfer of the day? That's not the case at all, Hugh, in Lanark, is it? Let's talk Tony Watt. Back to Motherwell. What do you make of it?
Have you got your bleeping machine ready?
Ooh, don't do that to me. I've got enough on my plate with these two.
I don't know who came up with this bright idea of bringing Tony Watt back the way he left the club. It was an absolute disgrace. The way he treated the fans was abysmal, and I know he's come out and said he's got a lot of hard work to make up to the fans. It's more than a lot of hard work to make up. But again, if he scores goals, you know what fans are like. Fans will turn on him, fans will back him all the way. He's living off this goal he scored against Barcelona. He thinks he's a better striker than what he is. His best football was at Fir Park, I think, and I've been honest there. And he decided to leave us for an extra 500, 700 quid a week, whatever he was getting. Dundee United.
See, in fairness, just quickly on that, I know it's always a bit awkward going down this route, but I think we'll find it was a lot more than that, the difference. So I just wonder if
that's what I'm saying, but that's what was rumoured, and I know it was obviously more than that because of what Dundee United had been going. Now, are the fans going to turn on him on Sunday? I think he won't get the best reception on Sunday. We do need a striker. The recruitment of strikers and bringing in injured players is beyond belief at the moment. Our injury list is beyond belief. I think we've got a full team out of injured players. But the way the manager's tactically set us up, he plays a 3-5-2 formation, and his two wingers are two defenders just because they need to defend. And it's not working. He can't change things. Bringing in Tony Watt, who's he going to partner up front? Because he really needs to play Tony Watt alongside another striker. Tony Watt does a lot of running, but needs another man with him, and we don't play with two strikers.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things here. There's how it fits into the team, then there's the other bit. I never tell any fans how to feel. You know, they pay their money. It just, you're always going to get a bit of this. Some people just take a much different view on it and say, look, Tony Watt is a man who had one job. He got offered way more money, by the way, I think a lot more than what we were suggesting there, to go and work somewhere else, and he took it. And that's what everybody would do in that scenario. But football also isn't like every other business, because there's so much emotion attached and people invest so much of their emotion into it. So mixed, I think, is probably the right word. I don't know how it will play out at the weekend.
You can see both sides, of course you can. If I'm Tony Watt's shoes, I'm doing exactly what Tony Watt's doing, and so would nearly 100% of footballers. Let's not be kidded here. I know the fans were disappointed and angry. I totally understand that, because he did play his best football at Motherwell. I thought he was terrific when he was at Motherwell. Now, he's back, and I think Hugh's right. Look, there'll be certain sections of the Motherwell support not happy. We witnessed it with Brendan Rodgers. It's up to you to win them round. And the way he wins them round, if Tony Watt goes on Sunday and gets a goal or a couple of goals, all of a sudden he kicks that Motherwell career off again. So there's a little bit of pressure on Tony, because he knows, and he's come out and said that, look, I've a bit of work to do to turn these supporters back on in favour. But he's a striker. He's got an eye for a goal. He works very hard for the team. So he could manage that, Gordon. But it has got to be difficult, because a lot of fans will be sitting there, and probably one or two, maybe a little bit more than one or two, will be hoping that he fails, just so that they can say, well, we were right and criticise him. But going back to Tony Watt's original move from Motherwell to Dundee United, I don't think you can criticise him for that, because I think every person that's got mortgages and the cost of living and everything like that, when they got offered that sort of package, you've got to take it.
What is it about that fans can't always get on board with you? Because, you know, it is quite easy to see both sides.
Why when? I don't have an issue with that. Argue, or I've got an issue with how he done it. When he's scoring goals, he's jumping up in the wall at third part, looking at Cooper, pointing himself and pointing the ground and mouthing at the same time, I'm staying here, doing a Morelos, because Morelos was doing it at the time. Then suddenly, oh, I'm away. I don't have an issue with you moving. I don't have an issue with players moving on, because I know it's a short lifespan, really, for some players. But please respect the fans. I don't care who you support. I don't care what you want to do in life. See you come and play for my club. Give me 100%. If you move on, you'll get my applause and say, thanks very much for what you've done at club. On you go, and go and make more money. It's how you've done it. That is the issue. That's the stickler here.
Well, Hugh, I think if your argument's just based on that celebration, then it's a flimsy one. You know, things could have changed after that celebration. Tony Watt might have thought he was staying, but all of a sudden, you know, he gets offered way more money and you're saying you're okay with that. Like, I think Tony Watt should be judged on what he did for Motherwell at the time he was on the pitch and what he can do, like Daz says there. And Daz says there's a bit of pressure on him. There always seems to be a bit of pressure on Tony Watt's shoulders. And maybe that does just fall him after that goal when he hit the highs against Barcelona. And people always expect most of him. So it's about what he does on the pitch. Will he do a job?
In fairness to him, I'm not sure if he does live off it in that sense, because I think he hates it. I think it's the opposite. I think it's like a millstone.
Not at all. I'm saying he lives off it. I'm just saying there's pressure on his shoulders, and maybe people think that's the player he should be at that level. And it was always hard to live up to that. So it should be about what he's going to give Murray. But is he better than what they've got at the minute? It would certainly appear so. But what he's rumoured to have been paid, was it £5,000 a week or run about that? That is a lot of money for a striker. Is he that? I don't think so. And maybe his best days are behind him, but I still think he'll score some goals for Motherwell. I just don't know if it'll be enough, or if it'll be the old Tony Watt.
Is that the Motherwell? Back to the football argument, Hugh, you know, is that the bit, like, this clearly wasn't planned at the start of the window, if you like. I wonder what's changed. I know Motherwell have got a lot of injuries. So is it just a response to the injuries? Is it a realisation maybe that a couple of the guys that have been brought in aren't any better than Tony Watt, as an example, and he's come up as an opportunity? How do you think it's come about? Oh, is Hugh still there? Can't hear him anymore.
I think Daz made a good point about this off air as well. See, when your rivals are running about that, is giving up strikers, and I know Jim's going in a different direction. He's ripped up that team. And he's got, is it Van der Sande, and he's got Trapanovski and Louis Moult still kicking about. And you've got various others that can fill that role. And Tony Watt's way down the pecking order. What is that kind of saying about where he is just now? And I know people can go to a different club and it could fit them much better. That's what the Motherwell fans will be hoping. That he comes and he likes the environment. He knows the training ground. He knows all the people that's there. And he just picks up from where he left off.
Imagine it, going back to bump into Gordon DL every day, snooping about. That's never good. 01419511025. What do you make of that? Or Adamida, since we're on the topic of strikers moving, or that Rangers team tonight, Rangers fans, how are you feeling ahead of kickoff? Let us know, and we'll speak to you next.
Take
taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
If you're keeping an eye on your opponents, potentially, Rangers fans, it's now FC 22, Salzburg 3. But that's still Salzburg in the advantage there. So one to keep an eye on ahead of the potential progression for Rangers. Got to do their bit first, of course. Let's quickly give you the full-time teaser before we go any further. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the first time you two have teamed up on the teaser?
Didn't we do it last week? Thursday night, we squished it. After
Why did you steal my pen?
Yeah, me. I did
it. Did you? Oh, right, that's okay.
You can have it back. Right, okay. Can you name the last eight players to score for Rangers in the Champions League group stage? Can you name the last eight players to score for Rangers in the Champions League group stage? Take it away.
Tavernier.
Yes. Against Ajax in 2022.
Goulton must have got one, no? Seema?
Nope. Seema was only here last season.
Champions League group stage.
Oh, who scored?
Morelos.
So there's only one other goal in that campaign.
Kamara?
Nope.
A rebound.
It's a very specific.
I thought Kamara
wrong
scored
answer. No,
a
no,
really
no.
good goal. Was that in the UEFA Cup?
Remember, who did they play? Who was in their group? Didn't go very well. That's why Liverpool. Rangers fans Liverpool. Have tried to forget.
Arfield.
Yes.
That's right.
Tavernier and Arfield and six more of the last eight to score for Rangers in the Champions League group stage.
I think we had this on Thursday.
Did we?
No.
It was something similar.
I think it was the qualifying stages. That's why I said. No, we didn't have the Champions League.
Are you sure?
It was because I kept going on to the Europa League and then I realised.
Nah, I don't remember these names.
No, we definitely didn't.
Well, give us a couple.
No, it was the teams they played. That's what it was. Was it not?
No, it was the goal scorer.
Nah, I'm looking at these names. You're fine. Anyway, thanks to Chris for sending in. And just in case you're new to it, that's the beauty of the full time teaser, is you send the questions in to us and we try and come up with the answers. So it's fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. We'll go back to Hampden in the not too distant future ahead of kick-off. But let's bring in Gary, who's a Kilmarnock fan, first of all. Gary?
Hi there.
How's it going?
Not bad.
You've got European action this week as well. You're not off to the Arctic Circle, are you?
No, unfortunately not this one.
not the easiest to get to. Yeah. Interesting times though, because you've got Europe, you've got a difficult start domestically. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if Kilmarnock's European run is kind of taking a wee bit of a hit off working a team in the league. We seem to be kind of struggling a bit in the league, and the squad rotation seems to be a bit all over the place, and it just seems as if the players are a bit playing out of position. It's a different style we're playing, and it's a totally different team for last year.
I think, Mark, I suppose if you're Derek McInnes, in a kind of weird way, you hope a result like that at the weekend is due to European tiredness. You know, it's just this like sort of silver bullet, if you like. That's the reason, and they need to learn to deal with it. Because if it's not that, and it's a sign of things to come throughout the season, then there are real worries there.
Yeah, you're in trouble. But I truly can't believe that they can regress that badly within a season with primarily the same players, really. And the same management team, the same structure in place, to step back and way off it, I'd find that hard to believe. So you've got to think it's the European exploits and everything that goes into that. Now, Sunday, of course, it doesn't help when...
Well, I was going to say.
Wright gets sent off in 15 minutes, 16 minutes. I mean, you're up against it. And I think it's just painted as a real, you know, dreadful result because it's St Johnstone.
And you've played Celtic the week before.
So you played Celtic, who were as good as I'd seen for a long time. But St Johnstone, because even myself sat in this show and said St Johnstone favourites to be relegated, you get beat 3-0, so it takes on a different form. So it's not easy, you know, and even if Kilmarnock do then win tomorrow, I think it was Roger said, then it brings about another couple of European games that then makes your start to the season even harder. So Derek McInnes having to dig in there with his squad. It's great for the fans. European football's brilliant reward, but it's taxing at the start of any season when you've not got a huge squad to choose from.
That's just it's the next step that some of our Scottish teams need to take, Gordon. Mm. You spend all season trying to qualify for Europe. Everybody's so excited when you do. you draw a team that plays in the Arctic Circle, your league form suffers, and then maybe you go out. Hopefully Kilmarnock don't, but you know it is hard to sort of do it all.
That's what teams like Kilmarnock and St Mirren and teams like that celebrate at the end of season, going European football. So you can't all of a sudden, because your league campaign's got off to a bad start, start moaning about it. It's early season. It's not like you're into January, February and you're playing Thursday, Sunday, and all of a sudden it's taking its toll. They've just not started well. I've got high hopes for Kilmarnock. I don't think that will last. I think they'll come back. I think they get too many good players. The manager's very experienced. They've started two league games, 7 goals against. Now, you can take into consideration, as Mark touched on, Celtic Park could easily beat MD 4-0. They lose 3 to St Johnstone there at the weekend as well. But I don't think it's the panic button yet. And what happens is, I've not seen Kilmarnock live, but everybody then starts, like the caller, Gary, saying, well, you know, a different style of football and whatever. That's because they're not winning games. People start picking in small
things. I think
things.
What you would
they've
say
got
is
they've got a good experienced manager with good players. Kilmarnock will come again.
They probably are conceding goals that they don't usually, though, when you look at the nature of them.
Take 4 away from Celtic.
No, but I'm not really. I'm talking more about Europe and then the weekend.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't mean the number. I mean the nature of them.
Yeah.
Quite kind of mistake-ridden or calamitous. Gary, are you not confident then Thursday?
No, I think we can come back if we want to start playing the way we did towards the end of that, last season. I just found it strange that we changed our kind of setup to play certain teams and we were always successful with it. That's my kind of thinking.
Do you think it has changed that much then?
I definitely think they've brought a lot of players into the kind of fold that are a wee bit kind of, they're definitely fringe players, let's say,
yeah.
For the European games, for the league games, that probably, in hindsight, it would be better to play your best choice players all the time. Now, I understand there can be reasons behind the scenes that some players can't play for this every game, injuries and different things, but I just think that the style that we play in should be kind of continuous. Mm.
I mean, looking at the team at the weekend, they're not loads. You know, the back three play a lot. Armstrong, Watson, Lyons. I know Rory McKenzie doesn't start loads of games now, and Innes Cameron certainly doesn't. So yeah. That's still only a couple. So you'd be looking at what Matty Kennedy and that.
Kennedy
11,
certainly
Watkins.
Would be on. Watkins was good last season for them. Those are the main changes. Mayo yep. plays a lot as well. I mean, when I say they've got a small squad, when you even look at that bench, it's full of experience on Sunday, and Derek will have to draw on that. Sometimes it's just got off to a bad start. I think the Celtic game really compounds it because you've got these hard European games and they didn't fall suit. But the St Johnstone one is the anomaly in there. But you've got to take into consideration your 10 men for the majority of that game. It's going to be a tough one. I mean, I'm just kind of laughing there. Derek McInnes doing the aeroplane and on the pitch at St Mirren. And of course, that was a real high that you get from being a manager and qualifying your team for that. But now he's really having to dig in and seeing the difficulty of these European ties. Look, fingers crossed, they get through and it brings a bit of high that then carries them into the weekend.
As Gary says, though, Gary's not giving up hope for Thursday, Gordon. Mm. There's an easy comparison because they're from the same country. They're not as good as St Mirren's opponents. The Norwegian league tells you that. Your eyes from what we saw last Thursday tells you that. So Kilmarnock will still have a belief that they can go there. I'm not saying St Mirren won't, but you think you have to take your hat off and say Brann looked pretty good last week against St Mirren. But you never know. Kilmarnock will surely still at least have the feeling within them that they can go and do it.
I've had the choice to take a team Kilmarnock or St Mirren to these games on Thursday, I would take Kilmarnock. I think you're right. I think they've got a better chance. I think St Mirren have been brilliant, off to a great start. Unfortunately, that came to an end at the weekend against Aberdeen. But St Mirren, they built a really good squad as well. And we wish them all the best. But yeah, Kilmarnock can still do it. It's got to be difficult. Of course it is. But I just wouldn't panic. I still believe that they've got enough there. The manager won't panic. He's a very experienced manager. And... you know, if they can stop the leaking goals and bad goals that probably Derek's a bit upset about, then they've got players middle to front that can score goals and get them back up and running. Thursday will take care of itself. I think that they've really just got to go to Fir Park. It's got to be a difficult game there and try and get off, they get their Premier League campaign up and running.
Oh, big, right, big cup knockout game Sunday, just round the corner. You'll be there surely, I'll take it. Watch your team. Listen, I'll come through. We'll go together.
We'll go together.
We'll study for the show.
Yeah, we'll go together. Do you know something? It'll be a cracker, an absolutely great game, I've got to say.
There's no chance he's going to meet me there, is there?
Just the uncertainty. Not in a million that he years. Said that. What you got planned Sunday?
I've got a wee golf day, but I'm
be back.
I'm sure I'm going to be back in time. Plenty anyway. Of time. Is that 7 o'clock kick-off?
Thank you very much to Gary on the line. We'll see how Killy and St Mirren do later in the week. It's all about Rangers tonight, though, in terms of action, and we'll see how the build-up to that is coming along. We'll head back to Hampden after these.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kick-off fast approaching at Hampden. Let's go back to Andrew McLean.
Yeah, both sets of players out on the pitch at the moment, shaking hands. We've talked about the Ibrox factor on European nights and what it's done for Rangers over the years. Safe to say it will be a bit different tonight. Not only, of course, is it here at Hampden, but it's far from a sellout as well at the National Stadium. Very sparse in terms of support behind the goal to my right. A few gaps elsewhere around the ground as well. So unlikely to be that electric atmosphere that we've seen help Rangers teams through tough ties before. But the onus is now on the players to put on a big performance to make sure they get through to the playoff round of Champions League qualifying, where it looks as if they're likely to take on Red Bull Salzburg. Good prize money at stake as well, even at this stage of the competition, and a step closer to the Champions League jackpot that Philip Clement and the club really, really want. That last minute equaliser in Lublin from Cyril Dessers, it was crucial, wasn't it, to give Rangers confidence coming into this game. But they'll need a step up in level of performance than what they had, you'd think, against Motherwell at the weekend. We'll have to do it as well without Václav Černý from the start. He was the one that was really making them tick in the final third, but Ross McCausland steps in, and so does Jeff Day. He showed in the first leg that he's capable of doing it in a bit more of an advanced role than he was initially brought in to do. Can he be the one to supply ammunition for Cyril Dessers, who's already got two goals in his first three games this season? I'll run you through that Rangers starting lineup. It is the two changes from the weekend. Černý and Wright dropping to the bench. McCausland and Jeff Day come into the starting lineup. So Jack Butland continues in goal. The back four, James Tavernier, John Souter, Robin Proper and Ridvan Yilmaz. Conor Barron and Mohamed Diamandé, the two holding midfielders. The three in behind the striker, Ross McCausland, Tom Lawrence and Jeff Day. Cyril Dessers is the man leading the line for Philip Clement's men. The substitutes, Kelly, Matondo, Černý, Dowell, Sterling, Wright, Davies, King, Fraser, McKinnon, Rice and Danilo. It's Tom Lawrence that's got his foot on the ball in the centre circle, and we are ready to go at Hampden for Rangers against Dynamo Kyiv.
Straight away, Gordon, it's just interesting to note that even the move from Ibrox, I know it's just down the road, has led to empty seats. I don't think you would have got that if that was at Ibrox tonight. So whether that's just a general apathy or whatever else, logistical issues around Hampden, I don't know. But that's a shame. Philippe Clement will be hoping it's not a massive factor for his team tonight.
No, I totally agree. I do think it is a disadvantage, as much as people say, look, it's a pitch, it's the same for everyone, get out there, you're a professional footballer, go and play. You're right, Gordon. If this had been at Ibrox tonight, Ibrox would have been packed out. Packed out. The atmosphere would have been completely different. And as a player, and Mark will tell you as well, who's played in many big games, you rise to atmosphere. Atmosphere can carry you a little bit in these games, especially at the beginning. But it's a job that Rangers just need to get concentrating now. Go and get it done. I think this will be a difficult game for them, but I think they'll get through.
Well, I agree with everything Daz says there about the atmosphere. It's up to the players, though, to actually perform much better. You know, and a lot's been said about the man we're seeing on the screen, Philippe Clement and the coaching and whatever, but the players are still a good group of players. And I don't think there's any question that they've underperformed, not only in pre-season and in the opening few games, but a large portion of, you know, the tail end of last season. So they need a big result tonight. And on the European stage, they've usually been good at that, at managing these games. So a quick start is exactly what they're after, and they're on the attack right away.
Yeah, putting some balls into the box, trying to force the early initiative. Of course, left it very late to rescue something last week. And very aggressive pressing from Rangers early on through Tom Lawrence.
Yeah, they look like they're going to press high. Got to try and put them under a little bit of pressure, keep them hemmed in. So,
do you feel like sometimes Rangers do that and sometimes they don't? And is that maybe where the fans are struggling a bit to get a grasp of sort of what to expect?
Yeah, you can see quite clearly from the early pictures that are coming in for Hampden Gordon that Rangers are trying to squeeze them right up the pitch. Dessers is the first one to go, and then where it allows there, it allows their back four to get to the halfway line, and then that squeezes the middle of the park as well. So that's a tactic.
Big chance Rangers early on. Oh, and was it just taken off the toe? I thought it was going to strike it into the empty net. It was a cross from Tom Lawrence. The keeper sort of dived out the way, spilled it, and the ball fell at the edge of the box. But I really expected the finish to come, and then it didn't quite materialise, Mark.
Yeah, I thought Dessers was just going to hit that first time he's left foot, but in fairness to him, I think the defender was just ahead about to block him, so he maybe hesitated and then nicked the ball. But a promising start. Yeah. Good from Lawrence, because I don't think Lawrence does that enough. I don't think he gets beyond the striker into those little areas enough, and it's a decent ball across. Yep, good start from Philippe Clement's side.
Okay, not a great start from you two on the teaser. Can you name the last eight players to score for Rangers in the Champions League group stage? You've got Tavernier and Arfield from that campaign a couple of seasons ago.
Wayne McCulloch.
Against?
Leon.
No.
No?
Give you it anyway. It's still Lee McCulloch. Unaria Urzicheni.
Oh, right, okay.
Is Nacho over there?
Yes.
Is DeMarcus Beasley there?
No.
Ah, right. Wrong era then, isn't it?
Hold on. Lovenkrantz must be there.
No.
No?
What about Darshville?
Oh, the goalkeeper's just cleared it off the back of Cyril Dessers. It doesn't come to much apart from falling out wide to Ross McCausland. And I think one of the Kyiv players has taken a whack in the face and the referee has blown the whistle. Anyway.
Darshville? No.
I'm just going to throw out names. Michael Moles?
Don't just throw out names. But how many have you got so far?
1, 2, 3, 4. That's what we've got. Kevin Thompson?
Nope.
Oh, Barry Ferguson.
No.
I knew he had.
So you've got Tavernier, Arfield, McCulloch and Novo.
Mm-hmm.
Who's always an answer in these questions?
Kenny Miller.
Kenny Miller. just assume he's always an answer.
Kenny Miller.
Remember him?
Yeah.
Oh, Chris Boyd.
Whatever happened to him?
By the way, he was here one day and then where is he?
No, like, literally though, right? Over
did he
the summer.
Tell you he was leaving?
No, right. So he won't. Listen, these things happen.
Some jobs.
Opportunities come about, and you got to take them. But genuinely, over the summer, I was meant to play golf with him on it was a Friday. Me, him, and another guy who's essentially Kenny's mate. If right. you like, right? So I'm like the outsider, if you like, kindly invited down for a game of golf. But it was just like turned up for the game of golf. Kenny he wasn't there. He just announced the night before he wasn't coming because he was on a flight.
He was in the airport.
To be Ronnie Dyla's assistant in Abu Dhabi.
How did he find out about these roles?
And you know the team they went to then straight away?
Had them in LinkedIn.
Spent.
That's a good shout.
Straight away went to Serbia for a month's pre-season.
Oh.
Straight away.
Oh, that's no good. In Serbia for a month. So how's he getting on?
I don't know. No, I did. Spoke to him the other day. I think his season starts soon.
Is he loving it?
I wonder if he's listening. He might be watching.
Speaking of which, you know who is watching? And this, I reckon, right? Do you think this is the first time Hugh Keevans has ever watched the live stream?
Oh, is he watching?
Because when he listens every night at home, but there's no way he knows how to work the live stream. But he is in Malague. So they have the internet now in Malague, which is great. Channel 5 and all sorts.
Electricity.
And he is, we're only kidding, don't hold it against us. And he's watching the live stream apparently.
Well, I hope he's enjoying Malague. Beautiful part of the world.
Rangers 0, Kyiv 0, 6 minutes on the clock. Gordon, what have you learned?
I thought Rangers got off to a decent enough start. That pressing from the front seems to have gone away a little bit. They're starting to just let them play at the back now. Game settled into, I would call it probably a slow pace. They don't look like they're in any hurry going forward at all. and Rangers are just sitting there waiting to see, as I say, long ball there into the Yilmaz's position. It was a good ball, but bad control. Rangers, listen, it's early doors. They'll be quite happy with the start.
Probably a slight let off that Yarmolenko's touch was a bit off mark, because I think he had got sort of in the right position. Yilmaz, it looked like, wasn't going to defend it effectively.
Yeah, great ball, great diagonal, and Rangers just allowed the left centre half to come out with it, and he can certainly play that pass, so maybe best not letting him come out in his left foot if he can zing that ball over the opposite side.
I thought I read that Yarmolenko was out this morning. I don't, maybe have I picked that up wrong? Andrew McLean can tell me, or was he a doubt and then he came into the team? I thought it was like definitive that he was out, but needless to say,
certainly made it then.
Well, he's got the old, what do you call it, kinesio tape
up the net,
whatever you call it, on the back. So I don't
makes all the difference, that stuff there. Didn't they have that in your day, did they?
My day?
The old tape.
No, we had wintergreen, son.
Chucked a bit of sawdust on.
No, wintergreen. Brilliant.
Wintergreen, what's that? It's like Raljex.
Oh, see, if you got it in the wrong place, let me tell you, you'd run up and down that wing for half an hour. And fire.
Is that like deep heat before deep heat?
Oh, it was just incredible.
It really smells.
The smell was terrible. Oh,
bet you you'd got it all over the thighs.
What it made your legs look like models.
Oh, like models?
What do you mean?
You know, just
oily
Ginola legs.
Oh my word.
What a guy is Pacuit Ginola.
Bear in mind,
nobody's heard there after 1996.
We spent 12 days with you in Germany. We've seen your legs.
I've not got guys.
David Ginola, they ain't.
By the way, he's got remember we discovered this, he's got baldy legs from the shins down.
Too much wintergreen.
Which is burned hair follicles.
Anyway,
past has caught up with me.
Enough about that. There's not a lot happening at Hampden, in case you can't tell. Keeve just trying to a bit more of a territorial approach, a bit patient, but they do have a lot of the ball. Right, this teaser: the last eight players to score for Rangers in the group stages of the Champions League: Tavernier, Arfield, Kenny Miller, Lee McCulloch, Nacho Novo.
Which Chris Boyd one? No.
Naismith.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Right, the other two are harder. Against Valencia, 2010. You've named some of his countrymen actually, but you've not got the other one.
Is he Dutch?
No, he's from the US of A.
Oh, Edu
Morris. Edu. Yep.
And where's the other one from?
Stuttgart, 2009. He's a defender.
Bugera.
Yes. There we go.
Oh, what a shout.
Yeah, brilliant.
Easy as that. Right, whatever happens, and it promises to be a big night, because either Rangers take a big step towards Champions League qualification, which is huge news, or they crash out, which is similarly a big chance for the visitors, a let off for Rangers. But whatever happens, you're going to want to react to it tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Make sure you join us here and enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.